a former pro, an SEC analyst, and a damn good dog. Max Stinchcomb is only on the College Football Voice of the South. Presented by Georgia's Own Credit Union, Cigna Engineered Solutions of Georgia, and ASW Distillery.
He is Matt Stinchcomb, the College Football Hall of Famer, joining us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker Line. Matt, did you ever play overseas?
No. We played a preseason game in Mexico City, but I guess technically not overseas since we kind of share a continent.
Yeah, well, that's true. And again, that's that Georgia education paying off for you. And again, you are the son of school teachers. So again, all of that worked out as we begin this conversation. But can you imagine playing your home games over there? You want to talk about jet lag coming back here? I just don't know how you could do it.
What about the tax consequence? How does that work exactly? You know, because, you know, when we used to play, you know, when I was in Oakland, you loved playing anywhere but California because of the tax climate there. So there was nowhere to go but up or down, as it were. But I don't know how that would work. If you're playing your home games in London, what the tax climate is over there, I can't say that I got my finger on the pulse on that.
Well, there are a lot of musicians who've gotten the hell out of London and England because of the tax.
And for those that don't know, wherever you play your game, you're getting taxed by that state.
Yeah. Yep. And I don't know how that, you know, how's that work jurisdictionally? And what about the workers' compensation laws, which is a state-by-state law? You know, there's this stuff. I don't know. How does that work? Of course, the players probably aren't thinking about all that stuff. They're thinking, man, that seems like a whole lot of flying. And they'd be right.
I think
it'd be really challenging. I don't know how you could participate. Like Monday night football, Thursday night football, Sunday night football even. You'd be like, God, it just seems like that would be really challenging.
I think maybe you're supposed to try to figure out if you can kiss and make up in San Diego.
Yeah, I think this is a good way to rattle the old saber. And especially given that Khan has the first refusal, who I don't think he has majority ownership in the Chargers. So I would think that he has an opportunity to block that thing and probably would. He'd probably be doing them a favor in so doing at some point in time just to save them from themselves. Surely they're not seriously considering doing that.
Matt Stinchcomb, College Football Hall of Famer, with us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker Line. What do you take out of what Georgia did offensively in that victory over the Gators?
Well, you know, I do think that it points back to it was a unique set of circumstances that led to Georgia's defeat versus South Carolina. And I've said it many times, don't take anything away from South Carolina. Georgia beat themselves in that game. Javon Kinlaw is a really good football player. Israel Mukwamu is a pretty good football player. Is he a multi-interception kind of a guy? Is he going to do that every week? No. Are you going to have the circumstances that would be replicated again in this season? I mean, it's possible. There's no doubt. But it was a significantly bad day for Georgia and a set of circumstances that did not work out well for them. I will say, you know, a lot was made of Lawrence Cager leaving that game versus South Carolina. I think the fact that Brian Harrion wasn't involved or wasn't available in that game, I think we talked about it afterwards, was as big or bigger deal in that football game. He is, and it's not just because of the circus catch that he made versus Florida, and Kirby Smart says, didn't surprise me. He does it all the time in practice. But Brian Harrion is just a guy that he just doesn't get tackled. I don't know what's great about him. You know, is he's not nearly as explosive out of his cuts as DeAndre Swift. His top-end speed isn't what Swift is or some of the other elite backs are. He's not a big guy. He just doesn't get tackled. And I think that element of it, being a great receiver out of the backfield, fitting into the pass protection, all those pieces, I think that played a role in Georgia's earlier season defeat. And because they came back healthy, I think that was a big part of it, not just having Cager out there, who obviously figured really prominently in that game and the game plan, but getting those guys back healthy and the ability to jump out in front early versus a team that you could make one-dimensional. I mean, all the things I think we thought about Florida were true, especially offensively. Their running game was glossed up by big plays. They can't run the football and haven't most of the season. They've ripped off big runs until it props up the box score, and all of a sudden you're like, wow, man, look at that. Florida, they really ran the ball well today. No, they didn't. They had a couple of good runs, and that was about it. They've largely been one-dimensional. And Dan Mullen, Kyle Trask, out receiving core, they're scary. Kyle Pitts, great player. They've done a good job of engineering around that element of it. And then Georgia, of course, did a good job of controlling the box inside out and then making plays in the secondary when they had to. That looked like a team that was willing and ready to answer the bell, and they did.
Every conversation we have is good news. Georgia just won that game. They needed to win. But the third down numbers were extraordinary. It's incredible. Is there some bad news that you had that many third downs in a game like this, though? You weren't doing enough on first and second?
Yeah. I mean, when you think about it, that's part of it. Sustaining drives is another piece of it. And you can go back to explosives and how you want to describe those, and do they go for scores, and the role that plays. You know, the fact that you're able to convert, even on that first series, I think there was a third and 14 converted, a third and 11 converted. Fromm still, he had so much time in this game. And so here's a brief aside. That offensive front, from a pass protection standpoint, that was one of the most impressive performances I've seen in quite a while, certainly this season, versus a unit that can get after you. And it was an ugly start. It was a negative yardage play on the first couple of plays. Very first play, I think the third play of the game, Jabari Zuniga almost takes the handoff. And you think, oh, man, this is going to be a long afternoon. But the protection, when it needed to, and especially on those third downs and third and long, that's when they had to hold up, and they did. And they did a remarkable job. They protected pretty well this season. And they've had moments when I think they have been dominant in the run game. Wasn't necessarily the case in this game. The protection had to hold up. It did. Jake Fromm had to scramble a couple of times and was able to be productive as a scrambler, even early in the game, the first series again. He was able to get a conversion. You don't want to find yourself in a lot of third downs, but the way they were able to execute versus a really good defense, that was impressive. The first and second down production wasn't where you'd want it to be. You got to find a way to convert the thirds, and they did, it repeatedly.
Matt Stinchcomb with us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line. Do you worry about Missouri being a trap game?
I mean, I think you always have to be worried about it. These are kids. I mean, we're reminded of that every week. As soon as you think you know something about a team and you find out, oh, my God, how in the world? How does Wisconsin lose to Illinois? There's a bunch of kids. There's a bunch of kids out there. There's letdown games. Every week is a potential for a letdown game. Kirby lamented the fact, going against a rival game, a rivalry team in South Carolina. He's going, we're not ready to play. We got to get going. We got to get ready to play. It's not easy to get up every week. It's not easy to get up every week when it's your job and it's a bunch of grown men playing the game, much less when you're dealing with kids. And so is it possible? There's no doubt. Missouri's been a totally different team, and I usually don't buy into this very much, home versus away, because you'd like to think that you can neutralize the impact of where the game's being played. But the idea that they played five home games in a row, there's a certain rut, maybe a rhythm that you don't want to get into that is established in doing that for so long. And it's anomalous. I can't remember the last time that was the case in this conference where a team was at home for five straight games. And and maybe it's not a corollary. There might not be any causation there. But they have been horrible on the road, just a totally different football team. They hadn't been great at home offensively. Kelly Bryant is not as refined a passer as I think anyone would have thought he was going to become or potentially could have become. I don't see any way. There's no Lamar Jackson scenario here. He's not playing quarterback at the next level. And I think that partly was why he went to Missouri. But he is dangerous. He is a good runner. He's not an explosive runner. He's not going to run away from a lot of guys, but he's physical. He gets downhill, and he's elusive enough in the pocket. All that stuff gives you pause, especially when you've got weapons at tight end and again this week, and Albert Okwuegbunam, big physical guy, different from what they saw versus Florida and Kyle Pitts, but still a concern. So they have weapons. They've got a good slot receiver, dangerous in that regard. Defensively, they aren't as good because they're without their defense. What would have been a decent defensive player of the year candidate in Cale Garrett at linebacker out with, I think, a pec or a tricep tear. That's a big blow for that defense because he's the one that set the defense. They play a lot of man. They take a lot of chances. They like to bring pressure. It's a defense that can be – you can get some explosive plays on because they're willing to gamble and because they're willing to single up outside.
What game do you have this week?
I get to go back to Arkansas, see how things are going in Arkansas. I was there last week. Didn't go great. And then I get to check and see if they're recovering nicely versus Western Kentucky.
They might ask you to coach.
What's that?
They might ask you to coach.
Might ask you to play.
Call some plays, Matt.
You think they'd let me? I don't know if I want to anymore. the fun pass from the 2-yard line? Mm-hmm. Let's see if we can't get a fat man reception. Yeah. Maybe get an eligible, tackle eligible in there. Yeah,
slimmer man now. Matt Stinchcomb, College Football Hall of Famer. We'll talk next week. Always appreciate the time.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Thank you, sir.
There he is, Matt Stinchcomb on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line.